Hey folks, thanks for tuning in. My guest this week is my very good friend Milo from the band Eyewitness, and our topic for this episode was ghosts, but we kind of went into reincarnation and death and existential crises and sort of what it all means. And I'm very excited to release this episode for two reasons. One, it means that the new Eyewitness record is finally out, but also Milo was actually the first person that I interviewed for this series back in 2017 when I was still just kind of considering what it would look like to sit down with a fellow songwriter and talk about creativity and sort of flesh out what became the format of the show. And so along with this episode, I'm going to release, finally, the prototype episode that we recorded together. The song you're hearing now is called Tug of War, and it is on their new album called Miss Me. Obviously, there are no dates to plug. Everybody is still kind of staying home and being quarantined and staying safe, I hope. And anyone listening out there, I hope that you are keeping healthy and keeping yourself psychologically healthy as well. But if you like what you hear, obviously, you're not going to go see them live right now, but head over to Bandcamp, give them a download. Their other two albums are on there as well. They released A Pleasant Tomorrow in 2011. They released You Are Here in 2016. Both of those records have some of my favorite songs ever written by local musicians. And it's definitely worth just taking the time one evening and exploring their discography and seeing kind of what the evolution of the band has been. Okay, without any more delay, here's Milo from Eyewitness. Enjoy the show.
Radio world. Can I get some more reverb on my vocals?
If I knew how to use this reverb, you could.
I'm just joking.
I tried it once and it was just like, it only worked for my input for some reason. And I just sounded like God.
It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. You were part of the prototype of this podcast.
I know. And then sucked. So I only...
I don't think I've listened back to it.
For I remember. A few years. I don't think you were really expecting what to do, and it was just awkward silence for most of it.
That's probably true. I wanted to see what it would sound like if two musicians just got together and chatted. And of course, like at the time,
silence.
It was weird because at the time I was like actually a news reporter, so interviewing should have like come more naturally to me, and it didn't.
That was weird. But that was, yeah, I was like a guinea pig. Now, yeah. You know, after a few podcasts, you got your feet wet and
a little bit. Yeah. Yeah. I'm learning. But yeah, I mean, that was like a lot of questions about like the Worcester music scene and like,
that's when there was one.
That's kind of, well, it was when it was like in the process of dying, yeah, I feel like.
That was a death rattle.
Yeah. What is going on with the Worcester music scene, man?
If there is one, I'm not aware of it.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe there's a whole element of stuff going on that I'm just not aware of anymore now that I'm older, but I don't know. I think it's kind of silent.
That's probably true. I was talking to Justin Arena about how, like, you know, 6 or 7 years ago, kind of like a golden age of house shows and, like, underground scene in Worcester and stuff like that, and it's just either we're not hearing about it anymore.
Yeah, like I said, I'm older. I might not be a part of it anymore. It might be still going on.
Yeah.
If it is, I'm just not aware.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people have moved away.
They're all older. For some reason, I'm still doing what I'm doing, and I just refuse to go away.
Speaking of which, the new album will be out soon-ish.
Probably. Hope so.
So, quickly, let's touch on what kind of has progressed and evolved for you since the last one.
Well, the last one came out in, 2016, I think? So, it's been a few years. This one's probably a way more personal record, I guess. I dealt with a lot of personal things in my life. And
sure.
Most of my records have just been all not so personal, very broad. This one's very mostly just a record for me, as an escape to, you know, just write my feelings on paper.
Yeah, yeah. You've been working on it for a while.
Yeah, I mean...
It's been basically like since what's the name of the last one? I'm sorry.
You Are...
You Are Here.
Yeah, You Are Here.
You Are Here.
Like since then, you've been writing all these new songs.
Yeah, you know, I had a lot of stuff going on in my life, so I wrote a bunch of new songs to kind of help me cope with that, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. Because You Are Here came out like right when we reconnected.
Yeah,
yeah, like early 2016, mid spring 2016.
Is that when it came out? I honestly forget when it came out.
I remember the release.
It was June, I think. Came out in June or July of 2016.
Okay, yeah.
It's a few years.
We didn't see each other for a long time.
No, but the record brought us back together.
That's true. You know, in a weird way, that's like entirely true. My social life was in shambles, and I showed up to a show that you were doing at Ralph's, and all the songs that you played from You Are Here was exactly what I needed to hear at the time, and it was kind of a magical thing for me.
It's the name of the game, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. You got to do everything with the expectation that someone's going to need to hear it, right?
Try.
Yeah.
If not, at least I'm happy with them.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
This is my favorite record ever really? Made so far to date. Rainey's too.
Nice.
I think song-wise and just sound, this is the record I've always wanted to make.
Kind of feels like, from what I've heard, there's a bit more energy in it.
Yeah, we got a little louder. I got a fuzz pedal, so.
A little louder. Not that You Are Here wasn't loud, but it's a bit more somber than I think your newer songs are.
Yeah, a little. This one's got more energy.
Yeah. That's why I say it was a record that I needed to hear, because I was in a really, like, low, low place. And just kind of.
The audience I'm trying to reach. Trying to reach those sad folks.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was a sad folk. At the time. And it's just sometimes you get yourself into this pit of despair, and what you need to hear is somebody feeling the same way.
It's like, I think in the movie High Fidelity with John Cusack.
Oh, yeah.
And he says, are we sad because we listen to sad records, or do we listen to sad records
because we're sad?
It's like the chicken and the egg. We don't. Yeah. I'm trying to figure it. I still don't know the answer.
Yeah.
It's true.
I'm curious to hear your response to this. I listen to sad records definitely when I'm sad. I tend not to reach for the uplifting records. I tend not to reach for like the happy things to get me into a good mood. Yeah. I just want to hear somebody that understands and has been in a similar place and has, you know, made art from that place and used it to their advantage and used it in a way that like can relate to what I'm going through.
I did it the same way. If I'm in a bad mood, throw on some Elliott Smith.
Yeah.
It makes me feel better about myself because he sounds like he's going through hell.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it can't be that bad.
You and I are both pretty good at being sad.
I'm actually very happy now. I mean, I went through a bit of depression in the last few years, but I'm in a very good place right now in life.
I wasn't meaning to imply that you're chronically sad.
No, I know. I mean, it's funny. Like, I think it's just like I'm known for writing some sad songs. Most of my songs are darker. I get it. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I'm not always sad.
I can see how one would get that impression from your music.
Oh, for sure. It's just, a way for me to kind of let out the sadness, I guess, and just create.
But that goes back to the John Cusack question. You know, do you make sad music because you listen to sad records?
I think I've always been drawn to just that style of music, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, I love happy songs too. I love the Beach Boys and Beatles, and you know, there's some happy song. I love a happy pop song.
Yeah,
I listen to everything. It's just not all sad folk songs.
Yeah, I mean, I've you've compared your own music, I think, to Townes Van Zandt from time to time.
I like him.
I don't think I would anymore because you don't really play acoustic stuff anymore.
No, I kind of went electric and just like Dylan, shocked the world.
Bold comparison.
Dylan went electric. Why can't I? Maybe I'll go back folk for the next record. I thought about it.
I'm actually really curious to see what an album would sound like with you just playing all acoustic, all softer songs.
It will happen one day.
Yeah. Anyway, our topic today is about ghosts.
I like ghosts.
Yeah.
I have a ghost on my t-shirt.
And you're wearing your own band's t-shirt.
It's hot, and I have to do laundry.
Yeah.
It's a good t-shirt, though, right?
Yeah. I like it.
Oh, you should buy one.
It's a tank top. Is it on Bandcamp? Do you have merch on Bandcamp?
I don't know if I do or not.
Yeah.
I should probably investigate that. I should.
Yeah, you should get on top of that. Folks, if you want an Eyewitness tank top, go on Bandcamp to Eyewitness and see if there's merch there. We don't know if there actually is or not.
Maybe by the time this comes out, I'll make sure there's merch there.
Yeah. I like it. Yeah. It's a nice, nice flat gray.
It's spooky.
Yeah. You've got a lot of ghost stories.
Oh, yeah. I like ghost stories.
We've talked in depth about ghost stories. You have a recent ghost story.
Not so much me, my roommate, though.
Oh, you're Ivy had a yeah,
but no, I've always had paranormal things happen to me throughout my life and childhood. So I guess it's not really so much paranormal. It's more just normal for me, you know, this is my day to day life.
Yeah.
I feel like this warehouse is spooky.
Yeah. You say that every time you come here.
I know. I went to the bathroom before this and I was just scared walking down the hall. I just get vibes. There's something here.
There's a lot of sounds at night.
I feel it. Yeah. Energy's just not right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, ghost stories.
Oh, you want me to tell a ghost story?
I want you to tell a ghost story.
Like a real one or just like make one up on the spot?
Oh, either one. Whatever you're inspired to do. What was your first paranormal experience?
The one I can remember the most as an early age, I guess, was I believe I was 5 or 6 years old. Mm. And when I was younger, I used to have these little alien figure toys that were probably like no more than like 2 inches high, plastic. And I loved them. They were my favorite toys in the world. And I lost them when I was younger and I was just devastated. And one night I'm just laying in my bedroom and I hear he's just banging against the wall, like out in the hallway. It's boom, boom, boom. Naturally, I'm kind of curious what it is. So I get out of bed, this little 5-year-old. Milo wanders off in the living room, and there's my little plastic toy just sitting flat and center, just staring at me. And I wasn't scared, but I knew it was weird. I was actually kind of happy because my toy was back.
Your toy was back.
Yeah, so I just kind of grabbed it and went back to bed. But now, years later, I think about it, I'm like, that was some weird shit. Am I allowed to say shit?
Yeah.
Okay, it's weird shit. That was probably the youngest kind of paranormal thing I remember happening to me. I was probably about 5 years old when that happened.
Yeah,
that was one. I'm trying to think of some good ones that happened recently. When I was living with my aunt when I was in college.
Oh, yeah, you've told me this story.
Yeah. Like I had a few things happen at that house. I got home from, I was a dishwasher, and I got home like during the afternoon shift, and I was just exhausted. And I went to go lie down. I'm just laying kind of half asleep, half awake in this weird state, you know? And I'm just laying there, and all of a sudden, I feel my bed just, like, shaking, like, quick vibrations. I stopped breathing. I was just like, am I breathing really heavy? Am I making this happen? And I'm just sitting there, just standing completely still, and the bed just shaking just very rapidly. Or it spooked me, so I got up, and, okay, I'm awake. Let's just go to another room, because I did not feel comfortable. And the next night, I woke up at 2 in the morning, and it was happening again. Just woke up to my bed shaking. Just like for like a minute or two, just like shaking, not like violently, exorcist shaking, just enough to wake me up from a sleep. And this happened for almost every night for a week straight. So I decided, okay, tonight I'm going to go sleep in the living room. Maybe it won't follow me there. And I woke up in the middle of the night, my couch was shaking. So no matter where I went, I was being awoken by this, whatever you want to call it, ghost, energy, spirit, to something shaking me.
Yeah.
And I was just reading some books of like, what could this be? And I read like, you don't need like a Catholic preacher to come and bless the house or anything. You can do it yourself. You can just talk to these spirits. So I kind of, one day I was living with my aunt. So I just waited until she wasn't home because I was embarrassed. I didn't want to tell anybody. And plus I didn't want to look like a crazy person. So I'm just sitting in my house, like by myself going, spirits, leave. You're no longer welcome here. Just like by myself, just trying to like cast the spirits away. They honestly left. It stopped shaking after that.
Wow.
And then but during that time, as this was going on before, I kind of said that I had a friend living in Philadelphia and I called him because I was kind of scared. I was like, why is this happening? I called him. Is everything okay? I was like, not really. Not sleeping anymore. My bed shakes every single night.
Yeah.
And so he had a friend whose aunt was a medium, you know, communes with the dead or whatever. So he was talking to her and said, oh, my friend from Worcester, every night his bed shakes. And just from that information, I never talked to this woman. And she said, well, it's a woman named Anne or Anna or something like that. And it's in the house. And so very urgent, she contacts him and it's important. And as soon as he said that, like, I thought he was just kind of lying with me because my grandmother's name was Anna or Anne. I forget which one it was. I never met her. I think it was Anne. My grandmother's name was Anne.
Either way, the medium was right.
Yeah, she was right.
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing it was my grandmother trying to, because it was her house. She died in the house
Okay. Before
I ever met her.
Yeah.
So maybe it was her shaking me just, I don't know.
Yeah.
But
do you like fully believe in the possibility that somebody can have that knowledge and have never met you?
Oh, absolutely. I believe in me. I mean, I think there's some bullshit people out there trying to make a dollar.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
I think people do have the capability of kind of connecting to other people who maybe been passed on. It's all just energy, I think. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's what I wanted to ask you is like how much, so having had that experience, how much are you now like in tune with that energy or trying to sense it around you or are you conscious of it?
I'm conscious of it. I know like I've talked to people who kind of have, they claim to have the ability to, you know, kind of talk and, you know, they said I should run, actually kind of acknowledge it and work at getting better at kind of recognizing it, but I'd rather not.
Does it creep you out?
It did. I don't get scared, honestly, anymore. Really, yeah. Honestly, like I'm just, like I said, it's not paranormal. This is normal life for me.
Right. Right.
Just like every so often there's lots of waves of activity that will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And then it might not happen for a year. Then I might have like six things happen within a week and then I'll just go away and come back. And it's been like that my whole life, no matter what house I've lived in. So it just kind of follows me regardless of where I go or where I live. I don't think it's a house. It's just me.
Yeah.
And so Rainey, my ex-wife, talked to a psychic once. This is before bed when we were together years ago. And she's like, I'm going to go to bed. And she was going to go talk to her psychic friend. So she came up to bed and I was like, well, what did your friend say? And the first thing Rainey told me before we went to last thing we went to bed was, they said, the psychic said your husband is haunted and ghosts follow him and sometimes they follow you too. And I was like, why would you tell me that right before bed? Like, I don't want to hear that. Like,
yeah.
Why the psychic should be like kind of just focused on you, not about me, but the psychic, the first thing they told Rainey was like, your ghosts sometimes follow you because of your husband and ghosts are always around him. And that kind of creeped me out. And then that's not the last, my mother went to a psychic too. And when she was in Texas or Utah, I forget. And she's into kind of the psychic new age stuff.
Yeah.
And the psychic told her like, oh, your son, there's ghosts that watch him and kind of follow him. Like this is what people tell psychics, like people related to me, they always just kind of bring me into it somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be involved, but somehow I am.
Has she mentioned anything about having those experiences since you separated?
Actually, a few weeks ago, she just moved into her house in Sterling. And, you know, I go over there pretty often. And she messaged me a couple weeks ago. She's like, you brought your damn ghosts with you. We're experiencing stuff over here. Like, she's never really experienced stuff until she started to kind of know me. But
yeah.
She's like, honestly, like, some things have happened around the house now lately, ever since you kind of came here.
Yeah.
And it was weird because I had, like, a really scary kind of nightmare dream involving Rainey the night before she told me that. And I called her and I was like, I had a really scary dream that, like, about you and ghosts and stuff. And the next day she kind of told me some weird things have been happening around her house. So,
man, yeah. You are haunted.
So I'm probably bringing stuff to the studio space right now. I'm just saying.
That's fine. You've been here enough times that I feel like I would have been haunted too if it was going to happen. But it's always been a frustrating thing for me that I know a lot of people who sense those presences and, you know, like abandoned farmhouses in town that my friends and I have gone to visit, like in the middle of the night. old cemeteries, things like that, where people can feel this spirit around them, this energy around them. And I'm like, I just don't feel it. And I don't know, like, I've opened myself to the experience of it. And I've kind of felt that, like, in the woods. But it's a lot of meditating about who was here in the past.
Yeah.
You know, this is like, you know, early Lancaster, what kind of people were here. There was, like, a huge, you know, King Philip's War.
Maybe.
It was, like, the Wampanoag tribe.
Okay,
basically,
yeah,
massacred all of the settlers in town. And it was like my favorite historical event to read about as a kid. It was fascinating to me. And so like I've, you know, kind of experienced the woods in town with that in mind and thinking like, okay, who walked these trails? Obviously that they weren't these trails back then.
We have Blood Forest here that's supposedly very haunted.
Yeah, because it has the name Blood, but it's not like...
I didn't feel anything
It's
weird.
Named after Arthur Blood.
Yeah.
There's nothing really like paranormal, but there are like reports of it. Like, and I don't want to discount those.
I mean, like I've... went like 2 years ago. I used to venture out.
Well, you only went once, right?
Yeah.
And you didn't go to the part where the cemetery is.
No.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I've been to places all around New England. I used to kind of go towards
You used to go ghost hunting. Yeah.
Yeah. Just to kind of see if I could feel anything. I never felt anything in any of the places I was ever at. I mean, they might have a spooky vibe. The only place I ever really felt a not so good energy was, I think, Freetown Forest over in Fall River.
The Lizzie Borden place?
Not Lizzie Borden. I mean, Lizzie Borden's in Fall River, but there's a forest there that's supposedly like the most haunted forest in America.
Yeah.
There's even a documentary on Netflix on it.
Really?
It's not good, but...
But you felt something there.
It didn't seem right. The air just was an uneasy feeling just being in that forest. And, like, I've been to a few forests, and that was the only place that I wasn't scared. It just didn't seem... Right. I guess there's been a lot of suicides there.
Okay. Yeah.
And some bodies found. But I guess there's like a big cliff overlooking like a quarry or a lake or whatever. There's been quite a few suicides, I guess.
I've read that. Yeah. Yeah.
But that was a weird kind of vibe that gave me. But I wasn't like terrified, you know.
Mm. So we were talking off mic about how a lot of your songs do address death and do like talk about kind of a lot of your songs have like Christian imagery. Biblical imagery in them and things like that. So I guess the question is, where does that fit into your understanding of death?
I mean, I don't know. I just always looked at death as we all have to face it.
Yeah.
You know, we're all still, can't escape it. It's coming. I'm not scared of it. Just, I've always been kind of drawn, I think, to death, even since I was, you know, like a little boy. And I grew up in a Christian household. I went to, you know, Sunday school every Sunday. And, you know, I'm just sitting there reading Revelations about the end of the world, kind of just always fantasized about the end of the world or what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just, it's always kind of intrigued me. Like just books and movies and just, I love that stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to ask is we both grew up Christian and are now kind of on different journeys, but thinking about death and thinking of it in terms of the Christian ideology that we were taught, you know, that kind of like faith makes it okay. I don't think you still believe that.
I don't know what I believe, honestly.
Okay.
I think something happens when we die. I don't believe in darkness because where would the ghosts come from?
Right.
You know, so like I know some people are just like, nope, you die and you go into the ground. And maybe that happens. I don't know. I don't claim I know, but I've had enough things happen to me to kind of believe that, you know, there's something else out there after we die. It might not be. Maybe it's pearly gates. Maybe it's eternal fire. I don't really buy either of those, but...
Yeah. The question I meant to ask was, do you use the Christian imagery in your songs when you address death as like a coping mechanism for thinking about death?
I think I just kind of like the idea of it sometimes, I guess. And I think it's just... We live in a, you know, pretty much a Christian nation, so it's just kind of easy to kind of use. I just... The Bible is... You know, I don't really believe in any of it, but the stories are great stories.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Like, I used to watch on Netflix just the Bible. This was, like, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Not because I was like, all right, this is great Christian stuff. It's just stories are amazing.
Right.
It's pretty much just a Stephen King film or something. It's like people are dying. These people are having sex with them over there. Chop their heads off. There's fire. There's angels. There's talking snakes.
Oh, yeah.
It's fun. So, I don't know. A lot of those Bible stories I looked at as like, you know, like a comic book.
Right. Well, I was talking to a friend of mine, you know, Matt, the banjo player.
Yeah.
That I play with. I was telling him, like, I don't think that that imagery would have suited my poetry. And then I was like, wait, I totally write a lot of, like, I write about Eden a lot.
I have some Eden lines, too.
Yeah. Eden is the best to write about. Yeah. It's like, it's loss of innocence poetry, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I think, like, right now, what I'm doing with my songs is what I'm doing, like, kind of with my spiritual study is I am, like, relearning a lot of the lessons that I took for granted as a kid and kind of dismissed as an adult. And now I'm like, well, no, I should really look back into what I was taught during that time. And that has kind of led me to write a lot more in my songwriting and in my poetry about those images. And I think that it's the way that I learned to relate feelings,
yeah,
you know, and relate the human experience and be able to share that with other people. It's a very easy way to do that.
Yeah. I mean, there's still elements of death in my songs and,
yeah,
and maybe some kind of Christian ideas, but I mean, it's funny, like years ago we'd play shows and I wasn't allowed to book a show because, you know, the guy, the booker, promoter, whatever is like listening to some of our songs and he's like, we don't book Christian bands. I was like, I'm not a Christian rock band.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't book us because he said, we don't do Christian rock. So I was like, okay, that's great. And then that same summer, we were trying to book a gig in New Hampshire and the promoter said, you guys are too dark for us. You're like,
yeah,
your lyrics are too dark and kind of evil, I guess. So we were too dark for this other venue and too Christian rock. So it was kind of a weird place.
That's a special kind of ambivalence.
Yeah, I had to like kind of, he wanted to like kind of go over line for line my lyrics to see what they meant because I think he thought I was going to corrupt the children. It was an all ages venue.
Okay, right.
And he thought I was going to like maybe corrupt the younger kids and I was trying to play a song. Like,
But yeah, what you said about like we're in a very Christian nation, so it might be like the easiest way to reach an audience might be to use that imagery.
Yeah.
And that's what Matt Emmer was saying too, is like, we wouldn't have folk music. We wouldn't have, you know, if it weren't for hymns, if it weren't for like blues, you know, we wouldn't have the music that we have today.
There's so some epic Christmas songs or Christian songs. Like, yeah. I love a good Christmas tune.
Oh, same.
I mean,
here.
We wrote a Christmas, we didn't write them, we just covered old traditional Christmas songs.
Is your favorite one, God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll play that absolutely in July.
Yeah. I've always loved the melody of that song.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah. I'll play that song, I'm not even lying, in July. The melody is great.
Why did that stop? Why don't people write, not sad, but, you know, like minor key Christmas songs anymore?
I don't think you can top what's been done. Like,
yeah, that might be true.
Maybe you can. I would like to hear it, but I don't know. Those, like, I'll Have a Blue Christmas, God Rest You, Merry Gentlemen. Blue Christmas isn't really a Christian song, but.
Yeah, well, it's a Christmas song.
Yeah, I still like it.
Like a Brown Bird's version of it.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So we've covered we don't really know what happens when we die. What seems to be the most likely option for you?
What happens when we die?
I mean, I don't want to say realistically because I think there's kind of no such thing as a realistic answer.
Yeah, it's weird. Do I think we all become ghosts? I don't.
Okay.
I don't know. I kind of, reincarnation sounds cool.
Yeah.
I'm down for that.
Sure.
I think, like I said, I feel like maybe some of the ghost stuff, like, you know, they always say it's like unfinished business.
Mm.
And that might be the case, but I have no answer or even, honestly no clue what to even say could happen because maybe it's heaven. I don't know. I don't even know what that means.
Well, I'm doing some reading right now that talks about heaven and hell in very interesting ways.
I don't think it's like some place where, you know, there's castles and there's guys in robes. I don't think it's anything like that. I mean, I just think it's, you know, we're all energy. I think energy kind of moves on somewhere else.
I agree with that. But what I've been reading is like this concept of heaven and hell on earth. Ecstatic unity is heaven and complete separation.
I like how this podcast kind of got really religious right here.
Well, it hasn't yet, so I'm actually excited to have this conversation.
Okay. No, I love talking about religions. I think they're all very interesting.
Yeah. And you're just taking apart a pencil over here.
So I'm trying to put it back together. I feel bad, bro.
It's okay, man. The idea that heaven is is just unity. Is, you know, a lot of the Bible can be read as prepare to work together in unity with one another to create a utopia.
Yeah.
And that's going to be heaven. It's heaven on earth. It's like, get out of enslavement, get out of the occupation, the Roman occupation, get out of colonization, and we are going to be our own people and we are going to be free. And that is heaven. And hell is this separation from God, and God is love. And so when you are separated from love and when you're separated from one another, that is a feeling of complete despair and complete absence of love, and feeling like the universe's indifference to you because you're not taking it upon yourself to share with others.
Yeah.
And that is hell on earth. So it's very interesting to think about. I don't think that either of those things are like viable options for the afterlife.
I don't think there's just a place of fire that you go to if you're a bad person. I think that's kind of funny to think about, but
yeah. But so in your opinion, you know, if someone becomes a ghost, but not all people become ghosts, what has to happen? Is it unfinished business?
That sounds like a good thing.
To become a ghost?
No, I mean, it makes sense, unfinished business. Unfinished business. Don't know that you died. Maybe you just died so suddenly.
Yeah.
You're kind of stuck in the middle.
And then are you retaining consciousness?
I don't know. I feel like you do. I don't know. Like, I've read a lot of books about people who've kind of like contacted spirits and mediums, and they're all not like, not everybody can be a ghost, I don't think. Mm. And like, in these books, not to say they're real or anything, but you know, they can contact most people. So maybe they're just kind of in this weird energy world. I don't know, hanging out, but
yeah, I like that. You know what? I got turned on to by the Tokyo Tramps.
Oh, wow. That's a name I haven't heard in a while.
Right. I was talking to the singer and I can't remember his name. He was telling me about the idea of the Bodhisattva in Buddhism. Are you familiar with this at all?
Bring it back in case.
So Buddhism is, you know, they believe in reincarnation and there are different states of reincarnation based on karma. And basically the ultimate state of karma before one reaches nirvana is the Bodhisattva. And the Bodhisattva is somebody who exists to alleviate suffering and exists to like bring, to ease the suffering of their fellow man. And so it's this belief, it's kind of like what an old soul would be, like what we would call an old soul. You know, it's somebody who has stuck around through all these lifetimes and is now at a place where they can just be with somebody as humans, like develop human connections, share very basic and very comforting human experiences with one another for the purpose of easing suffering. And that's what that person is going to be to you. They're going to be like the absence of ego, but just a presence that will be with you and share unity with you. It's very similar to the idea of heaven on earth.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
No, I've never really been able to buy the whole reincarnation thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say. It just, sometimes you, I don't know if it has anything to do with like deja vu, like maybe you've done this before, you know, that kind of like,
it's definitely a good argument for deja vu.
Yeah. Like I have a lot of deja vu. Like I've definitely done this before.
But doesn't deja vu intend that it's a redo?
Maybe.
And like you're in the same like space time as you once were.
Yeah. I don't know. I saw this. There's all sorts of weird theories and stuff and I don't know what to believe anymore. Yeah. But it sounds like a cool concept.
Well, I think you and I are both people who believe that you don't need to believe any one thing.
I think it's dangerous. It's
kind
of. There's only one thing to believe. I think it's dangerous.
I think it's dangerous to latch on to vocabulary.
Yeah, like I know plenty of people who are Christian or aren't and have different beliefs, but I don't know. I just don't like to preach to anybody and I don't want anybody to preach towards me. You know, as long as you're happy, that's all that matters, I guess.
Mm. All right. So what are your deathbed thoughts? I'm asking this very prematurely. I hope you don't die for a long time.
I hope not.
But,
like, what are you asking?
Say you're on your deathbed. What do you think you're about to experience?
I don't know. I used to dream about dying every night, and I don't know if that's what death is like. In my dreams, I know what death is like. You know, I've died a million different ways in my sleep.
Sure.
Shot, stabbed. Or car accident, like drowned, fallen, fire.
Man.
Yeah, I legit used to dream every night that I was dying. And I wasn't scared. I just kind of, you know, I knew it was going to happen. So I just kind of accepted it. And it just kind of got really quiet, and I actually died in my sleep. I didn't wake up. It just kind of like turned black. So maybe, maybe there is nothing after life.
Whoa.
Everything turned just like dark.
That never happens.
Yeah. Like I didn't wake up. I just like, okay, well, death is about to happen.
Was that just one time?
Every time.
Wow.
And like, I think it was slowly happening, like in a dream, like, you know, I got into a really bad car accident. I'm just like laying on the side of the road thinking I'm about to die, and I was okay with it. But it just like, you know, it just got really quiet and just started to get really black and just darkness. And that was it. I haven't dreamt like that in a while, but that was a big thing. I used to always have recurring dreams of dying. It was weird.
There have been a few phases of my life when I've had really extreme death anxiety that has just followed me around for weeks and weeks and weeks at a time. One of those phases, I remember, like, I was with you at the start of one of them. It was right after Leonard Cohen had died. You remember?
Yeah.
I was about to go to a show with you, and it was like all I could do to keep from freaking out the whole time. And I was like, the best thing I can do is kind of be open about this. Like, I've been thinking about death a lot. And actually, I was like telling you that I hadn't been able to listen to Brown Bird.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that.
I was like, death has been on my mind. And you said, like, yeah, welcome to my world. So I wonder, is that still true for you? Or do you have the occasional, like, really, really anxious phase where you don't know what it all means and what's going to happen?
No, I try not to anymore.
Yeah.
I try not to get too worried about things or stressed out. It's not healthy for me personally. Yeah. So I can't control. I try not to worry about things I can't control.
Sure.
So if I, you know, I don't know if death's coming, but I don't know when.
Well, what always freaks me, and I think what freaks everybody out, is just the idea of eternity.
Yeah, just, you know, something. It could be something more, but yeah. You know, that could. I think it just gives people hope too. Like, we don't have to worry. There's something else after this. So.
Yeah, there's definitely that way of looking at it as well. I tend to believe that, you know, what happens after my death is not of my concern, and all I can control is right now. And that's kind of I'm not going to be so bold as to call it a Buddhist belief, but the Buddhist idea of suffering, and that the point is to ease each other's suffering. That's all you can really do while you're alive. That's all you can make sure you try to do.
I think that's a healthy way to do it.
Yeah, is create peace around you. So I'm always in pursuit of that, I think.
In pursuit of happiness.
Yeah. But the idea of eternity still freaks me out, if I actually think about it.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly didn't think I'd be alive today. I figured, you know, and no one else. I know, I guess it's hard to think of the future, and you're like, you know, some 20-year-old kid. I didn't think I'd be alive at 35.
Yeah.
I just figured I'd be dead by then, or the world would have been blown up by now.
I just figured I'd die young somehow.
Yeah, I just figured, I guess, we'd all be blown up.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, wow, we're still doing this, huh? It's been a long 35 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just to kind of even imagine, like, I was over visiting my aunt today, and she's in her 70s now. I'm like, I can't even picture being on this earth another 40 years.
Right?
It's exhausting. I'm exhausted at age 35.
Yeah.
And, like, my life's pretty easy. But just to kind of think, like, I might be on this earth another 60 years seems really exhausting to me right now.
Mm. I remember a thought that used to freak me out was, like, eventually the earth will stop subsisting. There won't be a sun.
That's for a long time, though.
It's a really long time away. But when you're thinking about eternity, the grand scale of eternity, and you're just like, well, there will come a time when literally nothing of me remains anymore. It's a completely irrational thought to have, because, again, like, eternity is not your concern. That's what I believe. But I also believe that, like, in the context of the human race, while the human race is around, all you can do is create harmony.
You should write, like, some inspirational quote. These are pretty good.
I'm working serious. On it, man.
You get some good quotes and thoughts.
Well, thank you. A lot of them I'm stealing from other people.
Just don't tell anybody that.
And this is what I think about all the time.
It's exhausting. Just,
because I think once you've been through the life is meaningless moments, you know, had the existential crisis of, like, what does this all mean? It's easy to misconstrue Christianity as this is something I'm doing for a ticket to an afterlife.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? And then your focus becomes on the afterlife. It's a big criticism of Christianity. It's not objectively true of Christianity. I don't think that that's what Christianity fundamentally teaches, but I think it is construed that way. by way too many people.
It's like, well, what if? Why? Yeah. Like, you might miss out and go to fire if you don't believe in this.
Right.
Like, you're just playing the what if game, so you better falsely believe in this.
Exactly. And I don't think that it's healthy to really have an afterlife safety net, you know, afterlife insurance, as they say. So, I mean, I remember my first like major spell of death anxiety was pretty much right after I became a quote unquote atheist. I was never really an atheist, but right after I was like, well, faith doesn't make sense to me anymore. What does this all mean? And then there was like a full, maybe 2 months of just no sleep. Couldn't bear the thought of one day just not existing forever. And it's a weird thing to wrap your head around.
Yeah, I try not to think about that stuff anymore because it's just, like you said, just there's no answer.
There's no answer.
So you're not going to be ever satisfied.
Right.
So that's why I moved on.
Yeah. But do you think that also comes from, I feel like I just didn't finish a thought, but I can't remember where I was going. Do you feel like that also comes from just like a dissatisfaction, like as a creative person, like with your creative output or a general lack of purpose, something like that?
It can.
Yeah. Because that's kind of, I found that like that kind of anxiety is most present in my mind either when I'm on the verge of something big or if I'm about to finish something big. Like the last time, like right after Leonard Cohen died, I was in my final year of college. I was just like about to finish up some major milestones and things were on the horizon, so to speak. And I was like, what if this is all for nothing? You know? And so it's like I had regained a sense of purpose, but was afraid that my purpose was all for nothing. Alternatively, if you feel like there is no sense of purpose, then it can feel like
I'm kind of in, I guess I'm sure most people, I'm always kind of looked at like, what's the point of all this? Why am I going to put out this record? Nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to care in 20 years. It means nothing.
Yeah.
Why am I going to like sit there and put so much effort and energy into this when like it's easy to kind of, then you can just become depressed and sit at home and play video games and do nothing else, I guess, if you're just waiting to die.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I'm trying to just not think like that because it's easy to fall into that trap.
I feel like I've spent the last 20 minutes trying to make you think like that.
No, I've always liked it. Like it's just such a weird area because, like, you know, in the grand scheme of things, none of this matters, you know, I don't matter, you don't matter. And it's sad and depressing to think of.
Well, but is the answer that we don't matter?
Well, we matter presently, but you know.
We matter. Well, do we also matter to future generations?
Probably not.
Okay.
You and I know.
Because I disagree.
You think you're going to matter to future? I mean, maybe you will. Maybe you'll do some great things.
Not me personally. Not. I don't believe that like a statue will be erected in my honor or anything. But I think that I fully believe in the concept of like the Nietzschean Superman or like what Bernard Shaw called creative evolution, which is we're all kind of tasked with this responsibility of furthering our intellectual and spiritual pursuits so that it will just be commonplace in future generations. It's like basically the intellectual evolution of mankind. And so if I believe that it's my lot in life to participate in that, and I don't plan on having children. So it's like, who am I actually going to pass this on to? But that's where I think the art comes in. And again, like, I don't think that I'll matter to future generations in terms of fame or in terms of like cultural relevance necessarily.
Yeah.
But the more the art and the poetry can affect people's interpretation of the human condition, the more that might kind of gain momentum in generations to come. And the more these talking points might still exist in generations to come. And so, I mean, just the fact that we're talking about this right now in non-Christian terms in America is huge evidence of creative and intellectual evolution.
Yeah.
Just 100 years out from when this wouldn't have been accepted from like the Scopes trial. What was it? The monkey trial.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, like I said, I guess I'm just waiting for the world to blow up. It's an easy way out. Hasn't happened yet, but.
And I totally accept that answer. And I'm not trying to like put everything that I just said on you either.
No, I know. I mean, like it's hard to say. It really is.
Yeah.
Especially in today's times, you know?
Yeah.
But I guess I've just always been waiting for the world to blow up, even since I was little 5-year-old kid reading Revelations, just been waiting for it patiently.
Sleep. This is the place that I wanna be. You never get to know my name. You see my ghost. Tell me where's my ghost. Have you seen my ghost? Just when you thought it was safe to be alone in your head, she's struggling down in the dirt. It's time we meet. You never get to know my name. Can you see my ghost? Tell me where's my ghost? Ever seen my ghost? Yeah, I see blood red. Show your teeth and smile. Help me make amends. Never gonna be the same. Yeah, I see blood red. Show your teeth and smile. Gonna be the same. Can you see my ghost? Tell me where's my ghost? Have you seen my ghost? It's all my fault. Is it too late? Don't worry, dear. Secret safe. God damn this house, I can't escape. You never gonna know my name. See my ghost. Tell me where's my ghost. Time will tell, I hope that you're feeling swell. You have me under your spell. You see me in the morning. Only time will tell, I hope that you're feeling swell. You have me under your spell. You see me in the morning. See me in the morning. I see blood red. Show your teeth and smile. Help me make a man. Never gonna be the same. Yeah, I see blood red. Show your teeth and smile. Help me make amends. Never gonna.